I'm Marisa Waddell with you on Issues and Ideas. The San Luis Obispo Symphony concert season starts this weekend with the first conductor of five who will be auditioning for the position of music director with the orchestra. Maestro Andrew Sewell is with me along with David Hamilton, who is the chairman of the symphony's search committee. Welcome to both of you.
Hi, Marisa. Thank
you. Good morning.
It's a pleasure. David, let's start with you. After a very rigorous process, you and the selection committee have narrowed the candidates down to five. Remind me how many candidates you started with.
I think it was about 130.
That's a lot.
Was our original applications, and we went through three or four rounds to get to where we are today with five candidates.
And Andrew, you've been here for a week. Mm-hmm. What have they kept you busy doing?
Well, with the rehearsal schedule being 3 weeks out on a Thursday night, I wanted to try and get to know San Luis Obispo. So I flew in last Wednesday and spent a week in between, and I've had to be back in Madison just prior weekend.
David, what do you have in store for Andrew, and what have you... how will you be working with the conductors with each candidate?
Well, basically, what we've done is we've scheduled a series of events around the visiting candidates for the weeks that they're here. What we've done is we've scheduled dinners or get-togethers with both the OAC, that's the Orchestra Advisory Committee. We have luncheons with the Executive Committee for the Board of Directors. We have luncheons scheduled with the entire Board of Directors. Another pre-rehearsal dinner with the actual search committee. In the final weeks before the concert, we're providing tours for Mr. Sewell and for the other candidates of the county, of the hot spots or the places to see, as well as meeting with our music education director and the youth symphony conductors and a lot of other people associated with our music education. And then we have post-concert receptions with various donors and dinners with the search committee again. So in a nutshell, anybody, there's a lot of people involved in this decision. Ultimately, obviously, it's the board's decision, but we want to get input from as many people involved with the organization as we can. So what we're trying to do is make sure that everybody gets a chance to meet Mr. Sewell, to meet the other candidates, so they can ask questions and we can get as informed opinion as possible.
So you've been busy and you've met a lot of people.
Yes, I have, and I'm enjoying it. So it's been a great stay so far, and very warm reception, and I've really enjoyed getting to know the principals. I think I'm very relieved that it's so thorough, because that's the best way to have a search.
You currently are a music director with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra. What makes you want to come to San Luis Obispo?
Well, the Chamber Orchestra is a slightly smaller version of the symphony orchestra, so there are 36 players. I have had a symphony orchestra in the past. I had another position with the Wichita Symphony for 10 years, and then stopped that in 2010, and I've just had the chamber orchestra, and as my family have grown up and left the house, I've returned to that hankering of I'd love to be able to conduct a symphony orchestra again. And as you may or may not know, a lot of conductors have two or sometimes three positions at the same time, and it's quite possible to manage. So I've really enjoyed getting to know the county and visiting places and getting to know the feel, the vibe. And I've really enjoyed, so far, the rehearsals that I've had with the orchestra. There's a great deal of potential for this ensemble.
And you started conducting very early, at age 16. What mm-hmm. drew you to conducting?
I was playing in youth orchestra at age 13 and thought that was cool, but I thought it would be even better to be the person up the front. I just got the bug. And, you know, we used to have these examinations, being the Royal Schools of Music and the Trinity College. We're from a British tradition, and you, at the end of your examination, you'd play scales, you'd have oral training, you'd have to conduct along with the examiner, whether it was two, three, or four. And I always liked that part, but it just got me thinking that how cool would it be to actually conduct the orchestra. And when you think about it, the score is like, if you think you have 10 fingers on your hands, you know, like a pianist, you know, think of one finger being an instrument. You've got this large group of people as one instrument. And it's more than just the instruments, it's also the people factor. And as I said, it's like you're a team builder as well. So there's a lot of different facets to conducting, not just the actual music.
Mm-hmm. And now you're from New Zealand, mm-hmm. but you came to the US to study.
Yes, I did.
What mm-hmm. made you come here?
There are no conducting programs in Australasia at that time. This was in the late 80s. There was one postgraduate course in Melbourne, but there was just so much more opportunity. And I actually came because I attended a conducting workshop that were just getting started through the American Symphony Orchestra League at Juilliard. And that's how I met my teacher, or future teacher, I was there for 3 days. I was scared out of my shorts, shall we say, because it was the first time I'd ever been to New York. I was there, I was 23 years old, and it's a very daunting task. And I went to Juilliard for 3 days and left. But I was certainly smitten with the opportunities that this country opened up. And so I ended up going to Michigan, and that's where I've been in this country ever since.
You're listening to Issues and Ideas. I'm Marisa Waddell. I'm talking with Maestro Andrew Sewell, who is a music director candidate for the San Luis Obispo Symphony, and he'll be conducting the symphony this weekend at 8 o'clock on Saturday, the first of five conductors who will be auditioning throughout the season. And I'm also talking with David Hamilton, who's chairman of the search committee for a new music director for the symphony. David, about half of what the San Luis Obispo Symphony does is education. How much will the music director be involved in other areas of the symphony outside of the orchestra?
Well, that's certainly one of the things when we were going through the candidates as part of the search was looking at their particular involvement in music education with respect to the jobs they'd had before. And that's one of the strengths of Maestro Sewell as well. We want our music director to take a leading role with respect to music education. We think music education as an organization, we think music education is the future of orchestral music. There's so little music programs offered in our schools now. We're one of the only music education programs from Santa Barbara to Monterey. We're in almost a dozen schools now. We're servicing nearly 16,000 students in that context. But we definitely want our music director to serve a role in promoting music education as part of our programming. So.
And Andrew, what is your vision for the educational part of what the San Luis Obispo Symphony does?
Well, I think, first of all, there is a youth symphony in town, which is a great asset. I mean, I grew up through the youth orchestras, and I'm also a product of public education myself. I learned the violin through the public schools, so I have a very vested interest in being able to share that gift with students that may not be able to have the opportunity otherwise. Another thing that is really important is if we can get to the students from, you know, third through eighth grade, I mean, these are the prime years, and oftentimes being exposed to something that they've never been at before really sows a seed. And if they look and they see an instrument, that happened to me. I went to my first concert when I was 8 years old, and I saw all these instruments, and I thought, well, I want to learn that one, and I want to learn that one, and I want to learn that one, and it just sparked an interest in me. And I really feel that, and I believe in it. And so I love working with students. I love working with kids. I always do the youth concerts. I've always have as music director. I think it's really important that the spokesman for the orchestra does it. We're not big enough that we have an associate conductor that has to do it. In my previous positions in Toledo, yes, I was the associate conductor, resident conductor, and I did do those. But I did them willingly, and I have them with enthusiasm. And I think there's a great number of ways that we can bring music to students and encourage and excite them, and then become themselves supporters of the arts.
What do you think you might be able to bring to the San Luis Obispo Symphony that others might not?
Well, in terms of my experience, I've been conducting a long time. I've been music director here in the Madison Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra for 17 years, and 10 of those years I shared it with the Wichita Symphony. I do a lot of programming. We've got a summer series called Concerts on the Square, which is an outdoor series, and it's free. We have literally thousands of people coming every Wednesday. This year it was 42,000 average over 6 weeks, and it's become a tradition. It's now in its 32nd year. I could see something like that taking root in San Luis Obispo, something where people gather outside. I'm also interested in not just the classics, I'm interested in Pops concerts as well. I love doing Pops concerts, and there's a variety of audience out there that can appreciate live orchestral music in whatever form, or whether it's a classical or a operatic or a popular form. It's there for everybody, so that's what I would like to be able to bring to San Luis Obispo.
Tell me about your job as concert programmer. How do you choose what an orchestra might play?
That's a really good question. First of all, you look and see what has been done in the past and what the audience is like. I mean, every audience in every community is different. They're looking at different things. There might be people in the audience that just like the staples, they like the war horses, or you might have people that are interested in or intrigued. My philosophy is let's give them something that's familiar, less familiar, and unfamiliar. Okay, that's kind of been my modus operandi. So if I'm programming something, it's like eating a good meal. You know, you want to have something that you can recognize on the plate. And then you might be a little more adventurous and you might try something and it might not taste so good at first glance, but then maybe you let it sit in your mouth for a little bit, you'll get to experience that. And it's the same sitting in an audience. It's the environment, and I think you've also got to educate and bring people along. It's become more of an event and an experience these days going to the concert hall as well. You get ready, you may get dressed up or you may not, you go and have a meal beforehand, you bring your friends, and then afterwards you have a post-concert reception or whatever. It's got to be an experience, and so therefore, it's not just a question of like you're being in church, you have to sit down and everybody knows what to do. And if you're not familiar with what you do in church, as an example, you sort of feel like a fish out of water. And I don't want anyone to have that uncomfortable feeling. So there's ways that you can break down the barriers and make it clear to the audience that, you know, we're all invited here together. You're going to listen to this piece that might be a little different sounding, and this is why. But I think, you know, if you listen to it this certain way, I think you'll enjoy it. You might get it, or there's a story to it, or there's something else. Beethoven 5, everybody knows Beethoven 5. Yes, Barbara of Seville Overture, that's very familiar too. This is the concert that's coming up. The Lalo right. Symphony Espanol, that's not as familiar to an audience, but it's a grand piece. The last movement's very familiar to people. So,
and it's certainly from a very familiar time period.
Yes. And it's the opening concert. And that's, you know, if it was the fourth concert out of five, you know, you might try something different. People have had a chance. This is the first concert in the year. It's a new season. It's the opening classics. You usually want to knock it out of the park, so to speak, and get people enthusiastic.
Well, the program really sounds like a knock it out of the park kind of program with the Rossini and Lalo and Beethoven's Fifth. Mm. You chose this program?
Yes, I did. We were asked to use music that was in the library of the orchestra, so that confined it a little bit. And then I looked back to see when was the last time we'd done that piece. It was been 7 or 8 years, you know, at least it wasn't last year, for example. So yeah, that's what you think about when you're programming. What have they heard before? What went with what? And also the fact that I'm thinking about the orchestra. What's going to make the orchestra sound good? For example, as a conductor, Rossini is a certain type of stroke, bow stroke. You've got to play it with a certain crispness and just excitement, you know. The Lalo Symphony Espanol, it's a big program, it's a soloist violin, and, you know, accompanying takes a lot of skill. So again, it's another way that we can hear the orchestra at its best, or and perhaps get them to know me. And then finally, Beethoven 5, that's not an easy piece to play. It's often in conducting auditions. The first movement is a bit of a minefield when it comes to if you look the wrong way, somebody might come in. You know, it's quite a difficult thing. The last thing I'd say is you're very transparent as a conductor. You know, you're the same on and off the podium. You've got to be available and personable. People have got to be able to talk to you and feel comfortable doing so, and not like you're in some glass house somewhere.
David, tell me what else we can expect this season for the symphony.
As you know, we've got five outstanding candidates, Mr. Sewell being one of them. It'll be interesting to see how each candidate works with the orchestra. I think that's going to be the most exciting thing, is to watch the interaction as the season goes on, between the conductors, with the orchestra and with the audience. That's one of the things I'm looking most forward to, as well as, you know, the numerous events we have planned, how they're interacting with various donors and various committee members and board members. So I've been looking forward to the season for a very long time, since we started this search. You know, as you know, we literally started the search and fast-tracked it. Normally these things can take years to deal with, and we started our search on January 1st. And I've had my fingers crossed for portions of this search, and so far it's gone really wonderfully smooth, and it's been no small credit to the search committee and people who are just so genuinely concerned about the well-being of the organization and about the music we present, and to see that come to fruition and these five excellent candidates. I couldn't be more pleased right now.
You're listening to Issues and Ideas. I'm Marisa Waddell, and my guests have been Andrew Sewell, who is a music director candidate and conductor. He is going to be conducting the San Luis Obispo Symphony this coming Saturday at 8:00 at the Performing Arts Center on the Cal Poly campus. And I've also been talking with David Hamilton, who's the chairman of the search committee for a new music director for the San Luis Obispo Symphony. Thanks, both of you, for joining me.
Thank you, Marisa.
Thank you very much.
And if you want to know more about the symphony and purchase tickets for the concert this weekend, it's slosymphony.com. For Issues and Ideas, I'm Marisa Waddell.